My name is Jake Sarafman. I'm VP of Product Marketing with Systanet, a division of Mercury Interactive Corporation.
Today we want to talk about service-oriented architecture and the need for governance in that region. Maybe you can talk a little bit about your background and about how you came to this issue.
Well, Systanet's been in the business of providing technology for enabling service-oriented architectures for the past 5 or 6 years. And we've continued to evolve our focus to address the changing requirements of companies that are adopting SOA. One of the issues that we've seen over the past 3 or 4 years as companies have matured their SOA implementations is the need for a governance foundation to manage the complexity and the inherent risk that can come with SOA implementations. SOA creates a great deal of complexity and interdependency that needs to be managed. It needs to be controlled to ensure that SOA is able to deliver on its promise for business agility and cost savings while also mitigating some of the inherent risks that come with the architecture.
Now, let's talk about those risks, because I know that this, for some, is a new concept. For others, it's not. Let's talk a little bit about what the risk would be when implementing SOA.
The way that I characterize the risks associated with SOA are based on the ideas of visibility, trust, and control. Visibility is really about the ability to ensure that services can be discovered for reuse. The second dimension of trust is really about ensuring that the services that you put into production are consistent, high-performing, interoperable, compliance and conformant with specific policies. Not only do they have to be conformant with those policies, but their quality needs to be provable to the consumer in order to ensure that there's a basis for trust that the consumer will count on that service as a foundation for the application that they're developing. Furthermore, consumers and providers of services are typically anonymous parties. So you need to be able to facilitate a way to formalize the relationship between these consumers and providers through a contract, some sort of enforceable agreement. This is another dimension of trust. Without trust, consumers and providers typically won't engage, and services will not be reused as part of new initiatives. The final aspect of control is really about ensuring the management of services across their entire life cycle. Each individual business service is going to evolve based on its own unique life cycle. It's going to be modified, it's going to be updated, it's going to be upgraded, it's going to be changed, it's going to be ported, it's going to be retired. And you need the ability, through a governance foundation, to manage the life cycle of these services from first introduction to final retirement, because services often depend on other services, and certainly applications now depend on these services. You have to ensure that as the service changes, you understand the full impact of those changes, and you're not going to create any kind of breakdown within your infrastructure.
So what's been the state of those services so far? I mean, we have SOA being implemented by some, you know, by the enterprise, by on a lot of levels. So what is the state of governments right now? Is it non-existent, or is it sort of happening as haphazardly?
The way I'd characterize that is by saying that governance is happening really on two different levels. There's companies that have engaged in SOA initiatives only to realize that they needed more of a governance foundation. Maybe they encountered some lack of traction or lack of momentum in their projects due to a lack of governance. And they're now looking to back into governance. They're trying to put a governance foundation in place as part of a second-generation project. There's still other companies, and this is becoming the vast majority, that are looking at governance as a first-order concern, as a foundational aspect of their SOA initiatives. So as they roll out experiments and pilots and early stage production deployments, governance is no longer something they're considering down the road, but something that they see as a foundation to these early implementations to ensure that they get traction, momentum, success that they need to justify for their investments in SOA.
This is sounding very complex, and I would think that some folks that, you know, maybe if they don't have perhaps the vision of the concepts of how important governance is, that they might shy away from it. Do you have a message to companies that are looking at that complexity and maybe getting a little bit rattled by it?
I think it's very important to ensure that companies do not become dissuaded from pursuing SOA initiatives because of the complexity and risks that I speak about. A complexity is actually inherent in any kind of flexible architecture. And governance, a proper governance foundation, enables companies to embrace complexity in a way that is not going to create risk within their architecture. We see governance as a way of transforming complexity from a risk factor to a value generator. So companies can take on higher degrees of complexity, deliver on the business agility that SOA promises without the concomitant risk that might be expected in that kind of environment.
So how would a company know that it's ready to make that leap, though? Have they crashed and burned? Have they run into problems with trying to implement SOA? How do they know when they're at that stage where the governance is needed? I mean, it sounds like you're saying the governance is needed basically at every level, from the root level. But say a company is maybe taking some of this on, what would be some telltale signs that perhaps governance structure is needed?
Well, it's our opinion that governance is a first-order concern that's necessary right out of the gate within the earliest initiatives. In fact, Gartner will tell you that governance is no longer optional, it's imperative, and that SOA projects lacking a governance foundation will have very low ROI and will be at risk at any phase outside of its pilot. So some of the things that companies can look for are lack of reuse, for example. If consumers don't trust services that are put into production, if there's no mechanism to ensure the conformance and compliance of those services and to prove the conformance and compliance of those services, consumers typically will opt not to consume those services, and they'll build their own. So you start seeing duplications of effort and low reuse rates. You also start seeing the proliferation of duplicate services because you don't have a way to vet the services that are put into production to ensure that you have some mechanism and control over the approval of services that are published out for public consumption. You might also see issues related to process breakdown. Low-quality services that are not checked for interoperability and consistency and performance have the potential to disrupt business process and ultimately have a deleterious effect within your application. So it could actually result in increases in business process disruption and potentially help desk incident rates, et cetera.
Now, how come this hasn't come up kind of before? I mean, I know that these concepts are new, but what do you think was the tipping point on making this an important issue for enterprise involved with SOA?
Well, I think in 2005, there's a lot of experimentation around SOA, the companies that are trying to prove the concept and understand its viability as a mainstream programming model within their environment. 2005 was a good year for SOA in the sense that it did, I think, prove out its value, and we saw SOA go from a novel curiosity to more of a mainstream, much more viable action for companies. So as companies have looked to SOA as something beyond a novel curiosity and something that they've accepted as a viable foundation for their IT architecture, I think that they've held it up to a higher degree of scrutiny and determined that the only path forward is to ensure that their SOA is highly scalable, highly predictable, high quality, and ready for enterprise business.
Can you maybe summarize some of the points that we went over again, some of the important points for companies to consider as far as their thoughts on SOA governance?
Sure. Well, the first point is that SOA is inevitable. SOA is happening. The train has left the station. Companies have accepted SOA as the path forward and as the prevailing paradigm for their IT architectures because of the business agility and flexibility and really transformative potential for both IT and business that it promises. But companies are also recognizing that SOA comes with its own share of risks. It introduces new complexity, and this complexity needs to be managed through a governance foundation. Companies don't need to be fearful of SOA to the extent that they're dissuaded from pursuing it altogether. A governance foundation enables companies to take on higher degrees of complexity to maximize the flexibility that SOA delivers and to really transform complexity from a risk factor to a value generator.
I've been speaking today with Jake Sarafman, who is the Vice President of Product Marketing at Systinet, a division of Mercury. And Jake, it's been great having you on the podcast and explaining all about SOA governance and the mandate for it and what some companies will have to be thinking about.
Michael, it's my pleasure.